This call will now be recorded. You may now proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the PPSAI Working Group call on the 14th of July, 2015. On the call today, we have Chris Tulling, Graham Bunton, Steve Metellus, Val Sherman, Sarah Wild, Sarah Blackie, Jerry Stumming, James Liddell, Todd Williams, Frank McCaleb, Keith Kupperschmidt, Bill Corwin, Griffin Barnett, Roger Carney, Darcy Southwell, Lindsay Hamilton-Reed, and Don Blumenthal. I show apologies from Michaela Nyland, Holly Raich, and Susan Prosser, and Kathy Kleinman just joined us as well as Amar Elstar. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Stephen Miller, and myself, Sherry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Graham.
Thank you kindly. This is Graham. I'll be chairing our first call back. Welcome back, everybody. It's been quite a while since we've been on our calls together, and I'm vaguely nostalgic, and we'll see how long that lasts. Let's see if anybody's got updates to their SOIs. Going once, going twice, three times sold. Okay. So on our screen, we should all be able to see the work plan. Today is the 14th of July, and we're going to begin our review of public comments, although I suspect today is going to be mostly process and less substance, and we'll get into the actual substance in following weeks. Getting into it, though, actually, let's dwell on this work plan for another moment or so. We've got 1, 2, 3 weeks, 4 including today, to review the public comments, and we have an awful lot to get through. So we're going to talk quite a bit about how we intend to move through those public comments today. And then we're going to have to dig in and work pretty hard to get that done. And then that doesn't leave us a huge amount of time to see if we can discuss the remaining open issues and generate some conclusions and get a draft final report out, which we're hoping to do by the end of August. It's a pretty aggressive timeline. I think we're all going to have to come together and work pretty hard to do so, but I'm quietly optimistic that we can do that. So let's then go on to the comment period, I guess, and what a comment period it was. We had a huge volume of input from all sorts of places, and that was interesting and exciting, and certainly it seems like lots of people are paying attention right now to the work that we're doing. I know Fadi was talking about us briefly the other day in front of Congress. And I don't think that changes much other than we continue to be focused and careful about our work and move forward as we have been. So I think the plan for today is mostly going to be to have Mary walk us through what she's done with the comments to date. I might talk through the Excel document that I sent out as well. And we can discuss some options for how to parse and dig into the comments and different methodologies we can do. And we'll have sort of an open discussion about other possibilities of going through all of these comments. And I suspect that's going to take us to the end of the hour. Before we get going into what Mary's done here, I see Kathy's hand is up, and then I see James's hand is up. Kathy?
Hi, Graham. Hi, everybody. I never took us off our 10 a.m. Eastern time slot on my calendar. I just want you to know I thought about everybody every Tuesday at 10 a.m. So it's great to be back. We've got a lot to work with. Graham, I just wanted to raise the flag before we leave the updated work plan that I'm not sure 2 weeks in the dead of summer of August is the right is A, enough time to conclude the open issues, and B, the right time to conclude the open issues? You know, a lot of people are going to be gone, and a lot of issues, if we're spending 4 weeks reviewing the public comments, we may need to spend at least that, if not more, trying to incorporate what it is, what direction it is, what guidance it is that we're getting from this outpouring of public participation in our process. So I'm surprised to see so much time reviewing the comments and so little time incorporating them. So I just wanted to raise that flag that I really see this as kind of September work to do, because we don't want to do it while people are on vacation, and we do want to give the public their time in our process, because so many people work so hard to participate, particularly from outside. It's amazing to see the diversity of organizations and groups and companies, new participants, you know, struggling with our issues and trying to understand and trying to provide us input. I think we owe it to them to work on the issues and questions that they raise, many of which we don't know yet because we haven't read their comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Someone needs to mute their mic. I'm getting a lot of typing. Two things, I guess. I think this is a plan sort of working backwards from ICANN Dublin to have this, our final report done in time for that. And I don't disagree with you. It's a lot of work that we're going to need to try and accomplish between now and then, but we, going into the comment period and extending the comment period, that I think we were all pretty aware that the timelines were going to be tight and it may require an increased amount of work, and we can get to this at the end of the call, I think, when we talk about how to work through these comments. But we may be doing something like subteams, and we may be doing two-hour calls. We've got lots of we have some options in front of us, and so we'll have to make some choices. But I don't disagree. We need to really make sure that we are attentive to the comments that we've been given. I see Mary's got her hand up, and I'm going to go to her and then you, James. Mary?
Thanks, Gren, and thanks, Kathy, for your comments. I won't repeat what Gren's just said about the timeline, because it is working back from Dublin. Just a reminder, I think I know I've said this before, that if we don't get the final report to the Council in time for the Dublin meeting or even the meeting after that, it does put pressure on implementation, assuming that, of course, the recommendations are accepted first by the Council and then by the Board. So even if the Council were to consider and adopt whatever recommendations we ultimately come up with in Dublin, it still has to go to the Board and a further public comment period. So that's something that I think is the other factor that we looked at when we were talking about the period for public comments and the sort of consequent results that would happen from that. The other point that I wanted to make, Graham, was that as we were doing this work plan, and I know we had talked about this in one or two working group meetings prior to Buenos Aires, there is not much but a tiny bit of wiggle room, and it may not be enough given what's happened since, but there is at least 1 week that we can have an additional meeting. If you look at page 2, it says submit final report to the Council on the 5th of October, given that the 11th of October is the Council deadline for Dublin. That leaves that week of the 5th of October for one last meeting, should we feel that we're able to stick to this timeline. So again, a little wiggle room, not much, but for what it's worth. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary. I enjoy the optimism of putting that extra week in there. James?
Hi. Thanks, Graham. James speaking for the transcript. And, and just echoing, I think, what's already been said, I think that this is this work plan is aggressive, ambitious, I think, as you said. It's possibly even starting to approach the line of unrealistic to work back from Dublin. And my concern is not just the volume of comments received, which was, by my count, unprecedented in the history of the PDP, but also just some of the I think the very large holes that the comment has identified in our work to date. And I think it's not just a question of going through these couple of weeks, and even though that is, you know, a pretty heavy lift, going through and checking the box that we reviewed the comments. I think that that's probably not going to be sufficient. We're going to have to take a hard look at some of the issues that were raised by the commenters and make sure that they are sufficiently and comprehensively addressed in our work. And I think that's going to be the extra part that I don't see on the work plan. And that's why I'm concerned about the just the overall critical path between here and Dublin. But you know, I don't want to sound defeatist. I'll step back and say let's dive in with what we've got, and if we need to have intersessional meetings or face-to-face in Dublin or, you know, two-hour calls or twice-a-week calls or whatever we need to do, let's charge ahead. Thanks.
Thanks, James. And that's loud and clear from both you and Kathy, and so I sort of, I guess, tasked the working group with you know, all of us working together to make sure we are giving these comments what they deserve. And that we're not skipping over anything, and we're working the best we can to accommodate all of what's been said. So let's now go to Mary, I think, and she's going to talk us through what she's built and shared with us to date. Mary, care to go ahead?
Yep, thanks, Glenn. I'm just trying to bring up this version 1, part 1 of the public comment review tool. And this is something that was sent to the working group on Friday, and as we noted then, it's part 1 because it's really only part of the mountain of comments that we have received. The first thing that I should note, and I know that everybody knows this, but so this is more for the record, is that we are not just talking about the comments that were directly submitted to the forum, the 11,400 and whatever that is, but you'll recall that we also had a template that laid out all the questions, all the recommendations as well as the open questions that we had in the preliminary report, and that is specifically referenced back to the section number and the actual recommendation that we had in the report. The idea being that people will respond to those questions in the context of how we had it in the report. So that's the other piece of this. And so there's really two parts to the public comments, the direct submissions to the forum and the direct responses to the template. And of those, we had 352 responses. Fortunately or unfortunately, I think it's fortunately for me, having to compile it, about 200 people started taking the template but never actually answered any questions, but that still leaves almost 150. Many of those 150-ish were incomplete, but they did answer a few questions. And so what you see in the public comment review tool is a reflection of both those types of submissions up to a certain point. What I've done is in each section, you'll see the actual questions in the shaded box. So, for example, on page 1, the first recommendation 1 in our report, that's the question right there. And what I've done is put in the comments that were sent in directly to the public comment forum from the various people and groups you see here, for example, the GNSO constituencies and a few community members, and that's what they've said, whether they support, if they have anything else, that's in the left-hand column. And following that, if you go down in page 2, you start to see the fill-ins from the template responses. And so what I've done then is try to be as complete as possible for the first 9 recommendations, and I think we had 20. So this is what version 1, part 1 does. It is the first 9 recommendations, and it puts in all the template responses we got to those 9 questions and as much of the direct submission responses that we got in the public comment forum that I was able to get through. So at this point, Graham, I think I pause and ask if anyone has any questions or would like me to clarify anything about this tool.
Thanks.
And having put everybody to sleep, what should I do next, Graham?
Oh,
wait. Steve has a question or a comment.
Yeah, this is Steve Metalis. Just wanted to thank Mary for doing this. Just looking through this, some of these have comments that we can work with and others don't. So, for example, question two about whether privacy or proxy services should be treated the same way, a number of people just say no and don't. There's no explanation provided. I'm not really quite sure what to do with that. Other people say no and give an example. I think it's very useful to have this tool, but it may be a bit less imposing than meets the eye because many of these responses are not really something that we can incorporate into our final report. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. I see Amr's got his hand up, too. Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, Graham. This is Amr. I would like to ask a question regarding what Kathy, James, and Steve have all sort of hinted to regarding the incorporation of comments and how it relates to the public comment review tool. The last column in the tool under working group action, is that sort of where the working group is going to decide on how to incorporate or whether they're going to actually incorporate any of the comments or each one of the comments in the final report or not? There is a column to its left on working group response where the working group can sort of just say, okay, we note this comment. This is our response if there is one or not, and then there is a working action column. So would sort of like the incorporation of public comments or the decision to incorporate them, would that be done with each comment being reviewed? Is that why in the schedule previously shared, we sort of just have the weeks regarding sort of going over the public comment review and not incorporating them because it's actually they're both being done together simultaneously for each comment. I personally think this would be probably a good thing because then I'm guessing the public comment review tool will actually be added as an annex to the final report. And in terms of sort of just the transparency and how the working group has done its work in reviewing the comments, all the decisions can be sort of documented in the final report and available to anyone who cares to sort of see how the working group members addressed the many public comments already submitted. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. That's an interesting approach to keeping us accountable. Mary, you have a response?
Sort of, and because I think Amr's actually described exactly what the public comment review tool is for, and in relation to the working group response versus working group action columns, that's exactly right. So, for example, as he mentioned, in the working group response column, we might simply say noted, thanks for the, comment, or we might say noted, we may need to further clarify. And then in the action column, the actual clarification, for example, we might say clarify language in recommendation 4 to change the wording from X to Y. So for those who are not as familiar with the tool, which is something that we've started using relatively recently in quite a few working groups, that's the idea. And as to publishing the tool, typically what we do is we put a clear link to the tool itself from the final report. And that does go to the transparency point that Amr makes. But the point I wanted to make is that we don't typically include it as an annex. We include other things like the solicitations for input early on in the process, the report of comments, and so forth. But the tool itself is represented as a link. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary. That's helpful. I see James, then Philip, then other James. James?
Thanks, Graham. So maybe the conversation is passing me by a little bit. I wanted to circle back to something that Steve says because I think he raises an important point about, for example, I think he zeroed in on a couple of comments that responded with just no without offering alternatives or rationale or something like that with a what probably should have been more of a, and maybe it was, you know, maybe the shame, you know, shame on us for the way we worded the question. But one of my thoughts here, just looking at this as a glance, is, you know, we got 127 pages. We have, I think we should take as much time as possible, but I recognize that it's not infinite. One of the thoughts I had was identifying comments that we could safely consider to be null comments, and by that I mean something that indicates support or disagreement without offering either a rationale or any other substantive feedback. And if we could, you know, it's the danger, right, of the danger of summarizing something a little too bluntly so that something is swept under the rug. But I think that you could potentially take all of those null comments and say, look, we had X number of yes, null comments and Y number of no, null comments, and then collapse them all into a single line item in this comment review tool. And I think that... that gives deference to the person who took the time to submit a comment, but also recognizes that we really don't have enough substance in the feedback to take anything away from that comment. So it's just kind of taking what Steve identified here under question number two in the template and trying to see if we can collapse all of the yeses and all of the noes that have no other substantial feedback into a single line item. Thanks.
Thanks, James. I'm not opposed to that, thinking about it. We have to be careful that we don't treat them like votes, in a sense, that we just understand that all we've done is collapse them.
Right. I'm sorry. I should mention, Graham, I don't want to treat them like votes, but I also don't want to just throw them out. And I think that I'm trying to strike that balance, too, where we acknowledge that it's a way of capturing the input, but recognizing that there's really nothing for us to do with it.
Yep. All right. Thanks, James. Phil Corwin.
Thank you. A couple of quick comments here. One, when the call started, I didn't have any fixed view on whether the time on the work plan was sufficient to get the work done. It was unrealistic. I do note that the comment review tool for the first 9 of 20 questions runs 127 pages, and assuming the other 11 questions are proportionate, we'd probably expect about 140, 150 pages on that. So, and we have 3 meetings after this for review of public comments. So while we should work with all deliberate speed, that would seem to say that we're going to review 80 to 100 pages of comments per hour in those 3 hours. And even agreeing with Steve and James and others that some of the comments where it's simple yes or no and add nothing can kind of be skipped over, but can't be totally ignored because they do show strong sentiment one way or the other. It's still a daunting task. The other comment I wanted to make is that I'm not necessarily dismayed if this takes a little bit longer, in that I don't think we can be oblivious to the political situation for ICANN that this report is going into. At the time that the comment period closed, it was noted that there were possibly a record number of comments on any ICANN issue. Cyrus Namazi was quoted as saying that this showed that the multi-stakeholder process was working. And then at last week's congressional hearing, which was basically a pep rally for the multi-stakeholder model, one member of Congress asked Fadi about this particular issue, and Fadi's response, which surprised me, was that the comments showed that there was no consensus, and without consensus, the report would not go forward, which I thought it surprised me that he would state that openly just a few days after the period had closed without analysis. But I think this is going to be seen within ICANN, I think, at the board level as somehow a test of the multi-stakeholder model where they can't just ignore the weight of the no votes, whether they were fully informed or not, and that some additional time that lets the transition and accountability plans move forward and perhaps ahead of this project might actually be beneficial for this project and allow the political atmosphere to be somewhat less charged when the final report goes to the board. So I don't know if those thoughts were helpful, but that's my response to what I see in front of me. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. That's good input. I think we've got a rock and a hard place, which is we need to accomplish this, and we have people looking at it very closely as a multi-stakeholder model. But also, we have that timeline, and us failing to achieve a final report or get that done in a timely fashion and hitting the expiry date could also be seen as a failure. So we have quite a challenge in front of us. I see James Gannon, Stephanie Perrin, and then Steve Metallitz. James?
Hey, James. So actually, Phil said a lot of the things that I was going to say. So he somewhat stole my thunder. So I think, and apologies if some of this has been said in the first 10-15 minutes, I actually came late to the call. I don't think we can underestimate the importance of the scale of the comments that we've received. And I think out of all due respect to the people that have actually put in comments, we need to make sure that we don't rush through an analysis of them. Even looking at it initially this morning myself, even if we take out the comments that appear to have came from the petition site and the form-based input, we still have well over 1,000 individual substantive comments. And I'm concerned about our current timeline being appropriate to give the amount of respect and attention to those comments that is needed. Our timeline has been very important, however, things have changed. You know, this is not a normal public comment period, and our timeline was developed around a somewhat. We knew it was going to be relatively big, but this is, as Phil said, it's possibly the largest public comment period in ICANN history, and I don't think we can step back from that and say that we're going to treat it the same way as any other public comment period. I think it is important that we might have to take extra time and we might have to come up with a revised timeline to give us the ability to give due deference to the amount of work that people put in and the public face of what is going to come out of this working group. We have senators asking about it. We have Fadi talking openly about it. This is bigger than when we originally done the original timeline, and I think that in order to make sure that we give the respect that's needed, that we may have to go back and look at the timeline again.
Thanks, James. Stephanie?
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I hope you can hear me. Yes?
Yep.
Yep. Good. James has said much of what I want to say, and Phil Collin has said much of what I want to say, so I'll be very brief with what they didn't say. I think we might as well face a new timeline right now rather than dither around. I agree that it is tempting to put the comments that have not, where there has been no argument made, just an opinion, in other words, it's tempting to put those aside. But I don't think that that is a fair and accountable way of dealing with comments. Nowhere do we say that you need to write a wretched undergraduate essay to put in comments on a proceeding. In other words, they don't need to cite the court case. They don't need to give chapter and verse as to which particular section of the document they are alluding to. So I think we can place them in a category of unsubstantiated comments, perhaps, but we cannot dismiss them. So that's not going to shave a whole lot of time off the time for reviewing this. And, I mean, frankly, we have put in how many meetings so far on this? I don't want to rush this. I want to have a chance to look at all the comments myself so that I can be sure that we're being fair. So please give us another couple of weeks to do that. Oh, and one more thing. We have many groups and organizations who are scrutinizing ICANN as they have not in the past because they've suddenly realized that there's something they care about going on here. So if that doesn't heighten the accountability, I don't know what is.
Thanks, Stephanie. I'm clearly hearing lots of the message that we need to be very careful with these comments and give them their due. And pending Steve, who we'll hear from in just a moment, we can talk about the actual process we want to go through, different approaches that we can take to get through all of these comments and give them what they're owed. Steve?
Thanks, Steve Metalitz. Yeah, I'm responding mostly to Phil. There are a number of things in his comment, in his statement that I'm concerned about, but just focus on two. First, the idea that we're only going to be working on this during our 1 hour or 90 minute or however long they are calls, I think that reflects some misunderstanding about what our job is now. And I think we'll get to, although I'd like to give Mary a chance to explain all the other work that she has done and that Graham to explain what he has done to help make these comments a bit more manageable. I hope that before we conclude our call today, we can also agree on a way forward that involves subgroups looking at comments on particular issues and then reporting back to the group. As a way of parallel processing that can maybe help us deal with the large volume of even, and I would agree there are even a large volume of substantive comments, although it's rather misleading to look at the gross numbers and extrapolate from that about how much work we have to do. The second point I would make is Phil is always, as always, quite astute about identifying the political environment that we're working in here, but I would just like to emphasize what a couple of responses to him have already said, which is there's a political problem with not moving on these and not coming out with a report. I don't think this timeline is a proposed one, and I think we should accept it as such, and it may need to be adjusted, but the longer that we fail to produce a final report, I think that reflects that is going to have an impact on how the transition and accountability issues are being viewed, because an organization that cannot deal with an issue like this, even after we've spent 2 years discussing it just in this framework and many, many years prior to it in other contexts, That's not very encouraging as far as the institutional credibility of the organization. So I think we have to take a more balanced view of this. But I would encourage I hope we can hear more from Mary and Graham about what they've done to help us manage these comments, and then talk specifically about how we're going to address them and hopefully in some type of parallel processing setting. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. So what I think we'll do is we're going to hear from Kathy, and then we'll go back to Mary to see if there's anything else she needs to cover on this document, and then maybe we can look at the one that I built too, and then we can segue into the what are we all going to do to get through this. Kathy?
I'm looking forward to the last one. How we go through it. Just very briefly, that I'm getting a sense here that there's some kind of penalty for having extended the timeline for comments to 60 days. And we extended that, we had the discussion to extend from 30 days to 60 days because we thought with more time to do outreach and education, we'd get more input. And that's exactly what happened. This is a huge success. We got more input, and we got it from groups that have never participated in ICANN before and from thousands of individuals that have certainly never participated in ICANN before, at least to the best of our knowledge. That's a huge success, but I don't see why that shortens the time frame for response. So I'll save more comments till the end. But, so far so good, but I don't think that takes away from what has to happen now. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Kathy. So let's go back to Mary. So you've put this together. You still have a bunch more questions to summarize and put into this. Is that correct, Mary?
I do, and so this conversation is really helpful because from the staff perspective, you know, we're very clearly aware that short of putting everything into the tool, we really can't do anything else, and it starts to look really scary, at least at first blush, as Steve Metallitz mentioned, because we certainly can't do any editing or any other sort of subjective selectivity. But what I did want to follow up on, and thanks for the great timing, Graham, is that if you go back to page one of this tool, and I have a TBA or to be added under what is termed part one, where I've got general statements and comments on overarching principles, but you know, that's just kind of a placeholder title. The reason why that's there is that in contrast to the individual specific listings of each template response that you guys were looking at, you know, that Steve and others have pointed to, those were easy to input, well, tedious and time-consuming, but easy in a sense, because you know, the template goes question by question, and so I could put in response by response. Regardless of how we deal with that, what I haven't attempted to do is similar types of comments that were sent directly to the forum. Similar in the sense that they were either, you know, replications of one of the form letters that were being circulated or were simply general statements of, you know, please protect our privacy or I can, you know, please don't do this because X, Y, and Z. So none of those have been added to this template for a number of reasons. One is I think some direction from the working group as to how you want to deal with that would be very helpful. And, Graham, this might be for the next agenda item. Second, one thought that staff had, but we didn't start doing it, was to, you know, kind of take a leaf from what James suggested, that if we can use some of the collations that have already been done, and Graham, I know you're going to talk about what you guys have done yesterday, to look at those general statements, if rather than individually listing each of them, and there are thousands of them, if we could collapse them in some way into this section one of the tool. So that was something that I did want to bring up to the working group for discussion and for instruction. And the last thing I'll say for now, Graham and everybody, is that another document that we prepared, which I don't have on the screen and I won't pull up unless you guys want it, is a summary of some of the comments that were sent directly to the forum. And if you're still on page one, you'll see that those that summary document includes summary of the comments from, say, the ISPs, the IPC, and a few of the community members. And that was intended to help the working group members as you start your own review or your group start your review, however you want to do it. What we've tried to do there is go through all the comments that were sent directly that did not appear to be form letters or templates and picked out extracts from them and replicated exactly those extracts in the summary document. That's about, I think, Steve, you said it was maybe 35 pages. Hopefully that's helpful, and that's the second document that we sent. And, Graham, I'm going to stop here because I see Steve has his hand up.
That was an old hand. I'm sorry. I'll take it down.
Okay. Is there anything else to add to that, Mary?
Well, not at this point because I'm a bit concerned that that might be too much information for everybody. I can show the other summary document if you like so that people who haven't had a chance to look at their emails can see what it is that I was talking about. And then, Graham, I don't know if it would be a good time then for you to talk about the collation that you and your folks have been doing. So here's the document, and over back to you.
Thanks, Mary. So this is just a collection of some of the larger comments that have come through?
It's a collection of what I could tell were the all the comments that made specific reference to either one or more of the open questions that we had or that specifically addressed one or more of the recommendations that we had. I won't say that it's foolproof because obviously with that many comments. I may have missed one or two, but I can say that I'm fairly confident that this represents the bulk of the comments that we have received to date that do address or try to address either one of the recommendations or one of the open questions.
That's great, Mary, and thank you. As people are pointing out in the chat, this comment period, I'm sure, has been extremely arduous for ICANN staff, as the volume is quite intense. So thank you again. Allow me maybe briefly to walk through what I sent last night. If you have that uploaded, that'd be great. Just to make sure that everybody's clear.
Yeah, I'm going to try and upload it right now, Graham. If you want to start talking, I will probably get it up in a few seconds.
Sure, thanks. So I sent out last night an Excel file with all of the public comments that I could get from the website. And what I had done was a developer wrote a program to scrape the entire comment period. It grabbed the sender, the subject, the body of their message. It has a link to any attachments. It has a link to the actual comment itself. And then I added a couple extra fields to assist in analysis. And the sort of goal that I had for this thing was to allow us to sort of filter and focus on different bits of or different attributes of these comments. Now, it's distinct from what Mary's done in that she is looking at the content of comments to figure out where those similarities lie, and I'm sort of looking at the form. So I've added a few columns. One is has attachment, and that's a yes or no. And this is an Excel file, so you should be able to filter in Excel to look at, say, only comments that have attachments. And typically, if they do, it's a short comment that has put their substance into the attachment. It's got you a link to go look at that. The other columns are there's a word count so that you can sort by length of comment, and that's helpful, I think, at least for triaging and figuring out which are the really long ones and which are quite brief. And then there's a column called Namecheap, and this column I used a string of text that was in all of the templated Namecheap comments. And if that string of text existed in the body of the message, then it gets a Y flag on that. And this allows you to filter in or out any of those comments. Now, there are plenty of comments that I think came from Namecheap where the person chose to write their own comment and replaced all of the text, in which case it has the usual Namecheap title or subject, but the body is completely different. Those would not have the Y flag. Conversely, there is Namecheap comments where they've written extra on top of the templated message. So those would have the Y flag, but then you can sort by word count to get at the messages that are substantially longer or shorter but contain that message. So all of this is meant to provide a sort of relatively easy way to slice and dice the comments, figure out which ones you want to read first, whether you want to prioritize the big ones or the ones with attachments, however you wish to do it. Now, I do know it's not perfect. Some of the formatting is a little funny because of the screen scraping. And B, I know I'm missing a few comments, but I've been able to identify which one those are, and I will update that spreadsheet at some point today and send that out. So that's there. If anyone has questions on that particular document, they can send that to, or they can maybe ask on the list because others might have that question as well. I see Steve's hand up. Steve?
Yes, this is Steve. I just want to thank Graham for doing this because we had talked with the staff about how we could get IT and ICANN to do something like this. I think this is a potentially very useful tool exactly for the purpose that Graham mentioned, is kind of prioritizing which ones to look at first. Not to say you don't look at all, but you know, ones that are clearly template comments and have a very, very small word count, so you know little has been added to those template comments, I think those can safely be looked at later in the process than those that are more detailed and not machine generated. So I think for that, it's going to be very useful for either the full group or for subgroups to identify where to start, which is with a volume this great, that's always a daunting problem. So I just want to thank Graham for doing this, and I know he's going to clean up the few glitches that he mentioned, and I think we'll really have a very useful document at that point. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. I see Kathy's hand, and we've got excuse me, about 12 minutes left, and we do need to talk about how we want to approach this. And Kathy, if you want to offer opinions on whether we want to do longer calls or subteams, I'm happy to hear those right now, too. I see Phil's question in the chat. I sent it out as an email either last night or this. I think it was last night. I can send it out again if you haven't received it.
Now, Graham, I just wanted to raise a quick flag about the spreadsheet. If I might, can I take a minute to do that?
Yep.
Okay, cool. First, I love it. This is outstanding. It's a quick way to review, and in combination with Mary's work, this is great. I did want to flag the word count because I had kind of thought I could go through and look for the longest word count as being the comments where people delved into substantive. What I'm thinking actually with the spreadsheet is this may be the way that we've been looking for to account for a lot of the shorter comments that have come in. But I just wanted to flag that I looked at, say, NCSG's comments, and we have 18 words. That's because that's Rafiq submitting it, saying on behalf of the non-commercial stakeholders group, I'm submitting the attached comment. So I just wanted to flag that the word count in this case may not be our reference point, and that a lot of the longer comments may actually be an attachment. I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. And that's why the has attachment column is there, in that I would use those two filters sort of at the same time so that you can ensure that you're paying attention to if that comment has an attachment or not and going to read that attachment. And the link should be there to go find that. So I wouldn't use – I would maybe do a filter of exclude attachments and then sort by word count, and you would get the comments where people have put their substantive message in the body rather than as an attachment. Hey, we got it up just in time. Thanks, Mary. I don't see any other questions at the moment, and we've got 10 minutes left. So we've sort of danced around it a bit over the course of this call. Steve's hands up. But we really need to figure out an approach. Now, we all have a lot of individual reading to do on our own time, but it could be that we need to tackle these comments as subgroups. It could be we need to do two-hour calls. It could mean we need to do multiple calls a week, and I think we're a little bit curious to hear if people have a preferred approach, because I think it's going to be quite a challenge for us to get there. I think with the subteams, what we would be doing is breaking out into specific questions that the initial report raised, and then we would that subteam would tackle comments that refer to those specific questions, and then we could bring that back to the entire group. We need some way of, I think it was Steve that was calling it parallel processing, to get through these. I'm going to go to Steve and then James. Steve?
Yes, thanks. This is Steve. Just briefly, I think that I would recommend that as the way to go. I know we all need a little bit of time to become a little more familiar with the tools we've been given by Mary and by Graham, but my suggestion would be we might start with a few areas that where we specifically asked for comment and asked and had, in some cases, had different versions out for comment. So some of those are in section 1.3.2 of the report, dealing with escalation of relay and the role of law enforcement. Some are in 1.3.3, which frankly I think is the source of a lot of the or is the focus, if you will, if there is a focus for a lot of the comments, and one that where we may see a very clear trend very quickly. And then possibly one other group looking at Annex E, because there we also had some bracketed language, different alternative formulations, and it would be useful to see who responded to that and how they where they came down. Again, not in a voting way, but just to see what the response was. So that would be my suggestion, is to start maybe with those three groups, and perhaps there would be others that would be logical, and see if we can get those groups to report back to the full group quickly and give their assessment or their conclusions. Obviously, everything has to go through the full group eventually, but I just think this may be more efficient than trying to assemble the full group each time to go through all this.
Thanks, Steve. I'm very curious to hear if others have opinions on that approach. If that's something we would like to move forward with, then I think we would need to be sort of, I mean, we're not going to be able to divide up into our subteams on this call, but it's probably something we need to do this week over email so that we can begin that work prior to next week's call. I see James and then Amr. James?
Hi, James. I'll be brief, don't worry. I'm not objecting to using subgroups in principle, but I think we need to be very clear on how we're going to actually proceduralize that work if we're going to go down that route. So before lending my full support to going into subgroups, I need to see how we're actually going to manage that process. And just on the point of additional calls as opposed to longer calls, my preference would probably be on longer calls. A couple of us here, anyway, yourself included, are working on accountability and stewardship, and there's a lot of work coming up between now and October, particularly on accountability. So additional calls means additional scheduling conflicts and can possibly get messy.
Thanks, James. That's good input. I've got Amr and then Marika. Amr?
Yeah, thanks, Graham. This is Amr. I think I would agree with what James just said. I am a bit concerned, and I did put this in the chat a little earlier, I'm a bit concerned that using sub-teams might actually be less efficient than perhaps longer calls every week, so 2-hour calls. I'm just concerned that there might possibly be a duplication of work being done. The sub-team goes through the comments and then reviews or questions being asked by the full working group later. So I would probably be more in favor of longer calls where the whole group can review the comments together, just go through them once, get them done. But I do note that Marika also responded to my concern in the chat. I have to admit I didn't really understand what she meant, so I guess I have James say the same sort of question, James, like maybe a further clarification on how the process would work in terms of sub-teams reviewing and then sharing with the rest of the group. Just further clarification, that would be appreciated.
Thanks, Amr. That sounds like a perfect time to go to Marika.
Thanks, Craig. Yeah, this is Marika. I'm glad I had my hand up. Because exactly, I wanted to explain a little bit on how this has been done in other groups, such as the CWG stewardship, for example, which also had quite a substantial number of comments, and they were actually working on a very tight deadline. So the way they approached it, and it may be something similar could potentially work here, is where staff basically assisted at the first instance to categorize the comments, similar to the way Mary has approached it and identified which parts related to which questions or which parts of the draft proposal. Basically, those then were broken out, and I think Steve just already gave a first suggestion on what those topics could be, then for each of those topics, a number of people would be identified and would volunteer to be willing to look at those comments. And basically what the sub-team would do, or the group of volunteers, and may not even need to be a formal sub-team, would basically just be going through those comments, formulate a draft response, and identify whether any action is recommended to the proposal or to the initial report based on that comment. Basically, the idea would be then, once the sub-team has done that, and it could either be done through an email conversation, at least in the CDWE stewardship, some groups did it through the form of a Google Doc, where one person took the pen and came up with a first list of responses, and then someone would comment on that, and then they would kind of bring that all together. Some groups did it through calls, basically going through a call and then writing up the responses. But basically after that, each sub-team would turn that back basically to the full group and basically share that well in advance of a call to allow everyone to look through that and basically be able to indicate saying, well, those responses I'm actually not happy with, or I don't think it actually responds to the question, or say the recommended action, I'm not really sure if that is what we want to do, or I don't agree with that. And then basically it would allow you to only discuss those items where there's indeed a feeling or a sense that more discussion is needed. But at least what we saw as well in the CWE stewardship, and I guess here there may be as well quite a few comments that may be very similar or where a similar response may apply. So that is where the sub-teams can help and make sure that then the full working group calls can really focus on those where there is actually substance that needs further discussion. So that is a little bit the idea, or at least the approach that the CWG stewardship used, and I think worked pretty efficiently because it really allowed for a small group to do a lot of the legwork and keep the working group calls really focused on very substantive issues that needed further conversation or resolution in order to be able to incorporate that in a final report. So I hope that makes it clear.
That is helpful. Thank you, Marika. I see Amr's hand up, but we've really only got 1 minute left, so I might ask you to take that to the email. And so I think our homework is to think about the subgroup approach that Marika has just described, the chairs and I will take that offline as well and have a conversation about what we think is going to be best, but we'd also love to hear from all of you. The other thing I'm seeing in the chat is to, if we have to do longer calls, it would be preferred for longer rather than multiple. So I think that brings us to our time. We need to sort this out in very short order so that we can begin working through these comments. I don't want to spend too much more time on process because, as we've heard many times today, we need to give them their due and let's get to that. So if you could all please engage over the next few days as we sort out exactly how we want to do this, and then we can get to the business of doing it. And with that, we'll close the call. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And we'll see you on email, and we'll talk to you next week. And Steve will be chairing next week, and I'll be on vacation, actually. So enjoy.
Thanks, Graham.